This morning we continue the journey of faith of Abraham and Sarah in one of the most dramatic stories of faith in all of Scripture, and we're learning to trust amid the test. We're in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When he reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withdrawn from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. As I said, we're on a journey of faith, and this morning we're looking at trusting, and we're looking at the ultimate test of Abraham. I heard about this wealthy, extravagant Texan who did everything in a very lavish way, as only Texans can. And in fact, he was so extravagant. He had this swimming pool filled with sharks, and he'd throw these big parties, and he'd have everyone line up at one end, and he'd dare them to swim the length of the pool in this shark-filled swimming pool. And he said that if they did that, he would give them their choice of $1 million to be vice president of his company or his beautiful daughter's hand in marriage. Well, of course, no one ever took him up on that dare, but one day he had another party and did the same thing that he always did, lined everybody up at one end and in front of this shark-filled swimming pool, and he called out his dare again. He said, "I dare anyone to swim the length of this pool in this shark-filled pool, and if you do, I'll give you your choice of $1 million, vice president of my corporation, or my beautiful daughter's hand in marriage." Well, all of a sudden there was a splash at one end of the pool, and this man began to swim frantically from one end. Sharks were circling around, coming after him, and he dove out the other end of the pool, and just as a shark lunged at him, and this wealthy Texan said, "That is incredible. That's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life." And he said, "Well, I want to keep my word. What choice do you have? Do you want the $1 million? Do you want to be vice president of my company, or do you want my beautiful daughter's hand in marriage?" And the man said, "Neither. I just want the name of the guy who pushed me in." You know, we all like extreme tests, don't we? And we're fascinated by that. I mean, look on TV for a moment. I don't know what your favorite extreme test is. There's American Gladiator. Any fans of American Gladiator? They do this thing. They climb on like a skyscraper. They have all these kind of gymnastics things. They go over water, and they train forever for these tests. And I guess it all started out with Survivor. Any people are still fans of Survivor out there? Man, I don't know what season it's in. But people get excited about that. And of course, people train for weeks and months. My favorite has always been by Bear Grylls, the guy who's a former English, the UK, Special Forces guy. And he's got this thing, Man versus Wild. Have you seen that? And then he's got You versus the Wild. And in fact, and he has celebrities on and has them face these incredible challenges. In fact, one time they had former President Barack Obama on, and they had him doing some amazing things. It was incredible to watch. I'm sure the Secret Service was somewhere in the background making sure that he didn't get hurt. But, you know, we're fascinated by extreme tests. And as we look at this story this morning, I think this is really the extreme test for Abraham, isn't it? I invite you to walk back into the story. We've been on this journey. But it begins with an interesting phrase, and some translations have different ones, but the favorite translation I like, it says, after all these things. It starts out, after all these things. Now, you wonder for a moment, I mean, after what all these things? Well, after all the things that Abraham has been through. We've been on this journey. Remember that God called Abraham when he was 75 years from this land of Ur, called him to travel more than 1,000 miles to a place he'd never been to. Abraham had to face famine there, and so he fled to Egypt, did a couple wrong things, but he found his way back through the grace of God. He had a conflict with Lot. He had to choose the road less traveled. He had to keep first things first with Melchizedek, the high priest. And then he had to trust God in so many ways. And finally, you know, a couple of decades later, the promise was renewed. And Abraham kind of stumbled and laughed at God. And then a few years later, there were some strangers that he welcomed in. And after he had given them a meal and showed them hospitality, they renewed the promise again. And this time it was Sarah that laughed. But they said, this time next year you'll have a son. And so the promise has been fulfilled. Now Isaac has grown a little. But Abraham and Sarah, each step of the way, their faith has been growing all along the way. Until this day, this moment, when Abraham's faith is tested really in an incredible way. And so God calls to Abraham, and Abraham says, here I am. Now that's a familiar phrase, isn't it? Because that's the response of Moses. That's the response of Mary when she heard from the angel, here I am. And many times that needs to be our response, even if with some fear and trepidation. And so Abraham answers God, and God tells Abram that he needs to take his son to the distant mountain, Mount Moriah, and to lay him on an altar there and to give him up before God. Now, Abraham just had to be overwhelmed by that request from God. We don't know all that went through Abraham's mind, but we know that Abraham loved Isaac more than anything else in the world. Hebrews tells us that Abraham reasoned that even if his son's life was taken, that he believed that God would raise him up, because God has promised that Abraham would become a nation through his son Isaac. And so Abraham set off on this journey with Isaac and with a couple servants and with a donkey. And then Abraham travels 3 days, and he gets to the place where the mountain is, and he can see it. And then he turns to the servants, and he says, stay here. We are going to the mountain to worship, and we will return. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Do you notice that he said, we will return? Not I will return, but we will return. Even at that moment, Abraham believed that he and Isaac would return. And so Isaac and Abraham begin this journey, and they trudge, we don't know for how long, but less than a day, and they start to go up the mountain. And we're told that Isaac has the wood on his back, and Abraham is carrying the flame, which is a torch and a knife. Now, that's an interesting picture, isn't it? I mean, first of all, Isaac carrying the wood on his back, where else does that imagery come to mind? Where someone is carrying wood up a hill? Well, of course, Calvary, Golgotha, where Jesus was told that he had to carry his cross up the hill. And there's Abraham, the father, with this torch, with this flame, which is seems to us a symbol of faith and light in the midst of darkness. And so Abraham and Isaac are trudging up the mountain, and Isaac begins to do the math, right? He says, Dad, I see the wood, and I see the fire, but where is the lamb? And boy, that had to be a question that cut to the very heart of Abraham. And Abraham responds in an amazing way. He said, the Lord himself will provide the lamb, the sacrifice. Amazing, isn't it? Well, they end up getting up to the top of the mountain, and Abraham lays Isaac on the altar. You know, it just reminds us that all of us face some tests in life, right? And it's not just American Gladiator, and not just Survivor, or you versus the wild, but all of us face tests. They may not be nearly like Abraham, thank God, but all of us are faced with trials and tests that challenge us to trust God. I mean, that might be the loss of a job. It might be a financial crisis. It might be an illness. I know that Denny has been through some amazing things with this illness and had to trudge each step of the way. And many of the rest of you have challenges that threaten to just cripple us, but we have to trust God. God doesn't always tell us what's around the next curve or over the next mountain, but God asks us to trust Him that He will provide. And so Abraham does that. He trusts God that somehow God will provide. And so he lays his son on the altar and raises the knife in this moment. And in that moment, God speaks out, the angel of the Lord, and says, Abraham. And Abraham again says, here I am. And God says, don't touch your son. And Abraham looks over, sees a ram in a thicket. They make that sacrifice, that offering. And Abraham is so thankful that he calls this place on Mount Moriah, Jehovah Raha, which means the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And so they sort of pass this test of trusting God, and even as you and I often do. And I'm reminded of that question, where is the lamb? And it's true that even though in that moment it was answered by a ram in a thicket, but it really echoes through more than 1,000 years of history until John the Baptist is by the River Jordan and he's baptizing people. And remember what John the Baptist said as he saw Jesus coming? John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And if you think about it for a moment, there's some more even amazing sort of historical details here, which is this mount called Moriah, which has this sacred stone on it where they believe that Abraham laid Isaac down. David was looking for a place to build the temple of the Lord, and even before that, the city of God in Jerusalem. And so he came to this special place, Mount Moriah, and he bought it because he said it's too precious to just give. And so he bought it, built the city of Jerusalem on it, and where the altar, they believe, where Isaac was laid, he built the temple of the Lord. And that's where the sacrifices are made. And so when Jesus is brought before the officials and condemned to death and taken maybe from the temple area over to Golgotha, he could see Mount Moriah. Now, the shadow from the temple would have fell towards that place of Golgotha. And the same moment, Jesus went up the mountain carrying the cross where he would give his life on Calvary. Just as Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, God our Father, our Creator, was willing to lay down his own life in the form of his son to pay the ultimate sacrifice that we would know forgiveness and God's grace. And so in that moment, the Lord did provide. What tests are you going through? Well, of course, we all have sins and shortcomings that we need to put before our God, our Creator, and ask for forgiveness that Christ has paid for. But we also have lesser trials every day of our life. And so if we put them on God's altar and ask God to provide, we can have confidence that God will provide. God had built and molded and strengthened Abraham and Sarah each step of the way so that when this ultimate test came, that they would pass it and give for us an example of faith that would ring through the ages, but also prefigured, pictured God's love for us, that God was willing to lay down his life on Calvary through Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. There's a wonderful novel, a bit of an extended parable, really, called Hinds Feet in High Places. Have you ever read that? By Hannah Hanard, written in 1955. I just highly recommend that book. And this woman, Hannah Hanard, wrote it after her father had passed away. She went to the Swiss Alps, and she had sort of a spiritual retreat, and she had an epiphany there. And so she writes this story, and this is sort of the summary of the story. She writes about this young woman by the name of Muchafrey. And Muchafrey lives in the Valley of Humiliation, and she is afraid of Craven Fear, who is pursuing her. But she longs to go to the mountaintops. But she's deformed. She's physically not very attractive. Her feet and legs are gnarled so that she can barely walk. And one day, the Shepherd of Love appears to her, and she tells the Shepherd of Love that she wants to ascend this great mountain and to there find God's presence in a special way. The Shepherd of Love says, well, you can do that, but you need to do it each step of the way. And he gives her two companions by the name of Suffering and Sorrow. Now, if you and I are going to travel life and ascend a mountain, the last companions we probably want are Suffering and Sorrow. Would you agree? And so she's quite fearful of this moment. And then in the last moment, this shepherd of love takes this thorn, which he says is a seed of love, and places it into her. And it's quite painful. But he says that if you want to know love, then you need to know this pain. And so, much afraid, sets off on this journey, and she crosses the desert, the fiery furnace of the desert, with these two companions suffering and sorrow, and she goes through floods, and she goes through all these adventures, and one after another faces all these people and sort of creatures that try to do her harm, and she ascends this mountain, and when she finally reaches the summit of this mountain, there is the shepherd of love waiting for her. And the shepherd of love looks at her and says, your new name is Grace and Glory. And she looks down and all of a sudden her legs are beautiful and they're strong. And then the shepherd of love turns to her companions, which are suffering in sorrow, and reveals that their true names are Joy and Peace. And he reveals that in her heart, the love that was planted as a thorn in her heart had become the true seed of love. And then he tells her that all the trials that she has gone through, and she was instructed to have remembrance rocks and to put them in her pockets. And the Lord reveals that those remembrance rocks are now jewels from her suffering and her difficulties, and they're to go in her crown. It's a beautiful picture of the Christian walk. I highly recommend that beautiful story. And Hannah Hernard should have discovered that as she lost her father, someone she loved dearly, and was in this moment in the mountains. But I think in all of our lives, you know, we go through some difficulties. Our difficulties and challenges may not be the same as someone else's, but we all face some tests in life. I believe that through each test, God strengthens us so that God is preparing us for the test of life. And one day we will step from this life into the next life, and all of a sudden we'll realize that the test we went through prepared us for jewels for God's eternal kingdom. I don't know what you're facing today. However difficult it is, it's unlikely that it's great as Abraham, but still we face some great trials in life. I encourage you, like Abraham and Sarah, to trust God in the test. And when we do that, know that God is always faithful. For he who gave his own son on the cross for us, that we know forgiveness, will incredibly give us all things. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we have followed this amazing story of Abraham and Sarah, we are struck how you've met them all along the way with grace and with strength. Lord, we thank you for the examples of faith, and we know even as the writer of Hebrews has told us that there's a great grandstand in the sky where those great saints of old are looking down on us. And so perhaps even today, Abraham and Sarah look down on us, and they have hearts that are moved as we to face the trials and tests of life. But they're praying for us, and they know that you will be faithful to us. So Lord, help us to trust you in the test and to know with all certainty that you are faithful through Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, amen.